Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
I'm back, Fred, from Alaska. Loved the trip.
Alaska, you went on a cruise. I'm jealous. That's awesome.
I'm jealous, too. And I went.
Yeah.
Out of Seattle.
Yeah. Discovery Institute was hosting it, right? Or they had a lot of speakers.
And fabulous scientists.
Yep.
Famous ones.
Yeah, famous. John Lennon, Paul McCartney.
No, they were with the Beatles. This was John Lennox.
Oh, John Lennox.
And Paul Nelson.
Oh, I know those guys.
Yeah. Lennox is a professor of mathematics from Oxford.
Yep.
He sat at the feet of C.S. Lewis years ago.
Yep.
And what a fabulous Christian apologist he is. He debates Richard Dawkins, and he debates Christopher Hitchens. So he's awesome. But the whole Discovery Institute, they are old Earth, but they're against Darwinism. It was an absolutely fascinating time.
And you've interviewed Paul Nelson and I think Stephen Meyer. Was he there?
That's right. Yet he wrote The Signature in the Cell and Darwin's Doubt. He was there and we got to talk to these guys at length. It was really a thrill. In fact, John Lennox said that he enjoyed I forget if you and I actually have done a show on it, but we have an article, A Christian Answer to Euthyphro's Dilemma, when Socrates thought he had a good argument against people who believe in God. An atheist today, Richard Dawkins, they still use this argument. And John Lennox gave a thumbs up, said he really enjoyed it. So if people want to read about that,
oh, cool.
We'll link to it in today's show summary, Euthyphro's Dilemma, A Christian Answer.
Awesome.
Yeah, what a wonderful time. Maybe we could talk more about the cruise as we go along. But Fred, the glaciers, wow. Juno going up the Tracy Arm Fjord about 40 miles in and seeing these incredible glaciers, like a half a mile wide.
Now, did you have a tour guide?
We did. We'd get off for these onshore excursions.
Okay.
And then
secular tour guide, right? So you're getting a...
Oh, and we witnessed everybody.
Oh, great. I was wondering about that.
Daniel Hedrick. Do you know that name from years
absolutely.
Ago?
Absolutely.
Do you remember the ministry all over Colorado at the People's Fair, all the fairs?
Yeah, when you read the name, it's God is Nowhere.
That's what it looks
That's what
right?
it looks like.
GodIsNowhere.org. But it's really... God is now here. But atheists
but it draws your attention.
Atheists walk right into the booth. You know, Jamie Schofield, Chris, all these
that's where
guys.
I first met Jamie, and he's our producer now.
Right. In fact, he's here in the studio today. What a fabulous guy, Daniel Hedrick. He is bold. When the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, when you're with Daniel Hedrick, you witness to everything that moves. And if it doesn't move, you pump it up and check it out.
Yeah.
Our slogan was dinosaurs to the people. Dinosaurs are missionary lizards. We showed the soft tissue photos of the T-Rex bones to hundreds of people.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fred, hundreds. There were a couple thousand people on the cruise ship.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole crew, the officers.
Oh, that had to be a lot of fun.
At all the stops.
And I bet
everybody.
You had a lot of people real interested. You know,
so
people love talking about origins.
Everybody. It was a stunning 9 days of sharing with people because as soon as you show them that T-Rex bones have soft tissue, they're all stunned. And they say, well, what does this mean?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's probably the biggest discovery in the last 100 years, and so many people don't know about it.
Yeah, 99% of the public has no idea.
Yeah.
And so they say, well, what does this mean? How could it be? We say, well, if there's soft tissue, it can't be 68 million years old. The dinosaurs have to have lived recently. That means we did not evolve from apes. And if, in fact, the Earth is young and we didn't evolve from apes, that means that the Bible is true.
That's right.
What it
we can
means.
Trust the history of the Bible
it
from page one.
Actually means that Genesis is true and what Jesus said that God made us at the beginning of the creation, not after billions of years, that it's all true. Where do you stand with Jesus Christ?
Jesus was a young Earth creationist.
He was. Amen. And so within 1 minute, dinosaurs are missionary lizards because as soon as you show them that photo, within 1 minute, you're talking about the authority of the Bible and the authority of Jesus Christ, who said that we were made male and female at the beginning, which means that we were there with the dinosaurs, human beings.
Yes. Humans and dinosaurs lived together.
So it was fabulous. We went to Glacier Bay and seals sunning themselves as the glaciers calve.
Oh, wow.
And so then you have all these baby little glaciers. They have terms for all that. So the seals sunning themselves. It's just so amazingly fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then plus you've got the Discovery Institute and they're going to have presentations and
every
all that.
Every day.
The whole thing.
Astounding lectures.
Wow.
So even though they're old Earth, and, you know, we're not shy about disagreeing.
Yes.
But they're studies to disprove secular origins, and especially Darwinism,
mm-hmm.
are so fabulous. And they got a new video coming out next year called The Privileged Species.
The Privileged Species. So they did The Privileged Planet, right? Or Lestra Media.
A few years ago.
And that's really, was that Discovery Institute? That,
well, yeah.
Pretty much,
yeah.
Unlocking the Mystery of Life is like one of the all-time greats.
Oh,
It's fantastic.
And Paul Nelson's in all these videos. Metamorphosis, about butterflies and flight, and Unlocking the Mystery of Life.
These are great videos, and we've got them in our bookstore. So.
Yeah, we do. At realscienceradio.com or just rsr.org. Click on the store, the science department, and you will love these videos.
Very well produced.
Yeah.
It's not some amateur hour
fabulous
thing. They're really good.
And in fact, our own new video on the global flood and the hydroplate theory, we're praying, Lord willing, that thousands
that
of people
will get that. That is a fantastic video. Good isn't job it? On that.
Thank you, Fred.
I finally got a chance to watch it. Very impressive.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Very compelling.
It's so
very compelling for the hydroplate theory.
The global flood and the hydroplate theory. Okay, so we're supposed to be going through the Creation magazine. This is the summer issue, 2014. Fred, I love starting just with the letters to the editor. This guy who used to teach in England, in the UK, Oxfordshire, and he taught in a primary school. And what he said about breaking open limestone in class, I love it.
Oh, it's really cool, because I remember Discover Magazine when it reported on Mary Schweitzer's discovery of the soft tissue dinosaur bones, and how Jack Horner, who we've interviewed here, right?
Well,
not interviewed him. We've called him.
Called him. We have it on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's like one of the world's most famous paleontologists.
Yeah. And he admitted the bones smell like carcasses in the lab, the bones at Hell Creek.
Yeah.
You know, they smell like dinosaur meat. I mean, you don't know.
In Montana, he said, oh, yeah, all the Hell Creek bones smell.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny about that? There's like, what, 1,000 square miles of this stuff? So if Mary Schweitzer was right, that it's the hemoglobin that's preserved them for 68 million years,
you
must have 1,000 square miles of pooled hemoglobin just soaking in those that sandstone, just soaking those
remarkable
bones. Yeah, remarkable. So anyway, he said one day several boys brought in chunks of limestone from the local quarry. We broke these up and extracted many beautifully preserved shells. What impressed and perhaps astonished me was the experience of opening up a piece of limestone using a hammer and chisel. The limestone was densely packed with seashells. As it split apart and dust arose, there was a distinct smell of shellfish and seaside aromas.
Wow. This is supposed to be from a rock that's millions of years old, right?
Millions.
So how did,
millions.
You know, millions and millions of years. So that's a long time for smell to preserve.
Isn't that great?
Wow.
And those are
cool.
Obviously, they're biological molecules that we're perceiving with our olfactory glands.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of biological molecule is complex. It has a sophisticated shape to it to do its job. Mere heat variation breaks down complex molecules. So you have radiation, you have all these forces that would destroy, totally decompose biological molecules in a matter of thousands, not tens of millions or even hundreds of millions of years.
Yeah. And what are we doing finding, you know, sea life, shellfish in this limestone? You know, I think Bill Nye, I don't know how many times I've heard it from other evolutionists, there's no evidence for a global flood.
Right.
I mean, come on. I can go to Home Depot right now, and there's a pretty good chance I'm going to find sea life in the gravel.
Right.
You know, we can find it in our backyards. Of course, we find it on all the major mountain ranges, you know, just like the Bible said.
Yeah.
The floodwaters covered the mountains.
Yeah.
And guess what's on the mountains?
Sea life. Right.
So it's not just an argument against, you know, old Earth. It's an argument for a global flood.
It's just
tremendous.
Great. And remember the Nautiloids.
Yeah.
Remember
powerful.
TheNautiloids.com.
Yeah. That's a website.
Well, it links right to our article on the Nautiloids. Remember TheNautiloids.com.
Yeah.
In fact, Stephen Meyer said he has a Nautiloid on his desk. Because somebody on the cruise reminded him that when he was on our show, at the very end of the show, I said, Stephen, your future research, could you remember the Nautiloids? And just look into the Nautiloids at the Grand Canyon. And he said, sure. So we talked about them a bit.
So just to remind everybody, there's a huge burial of Nautiloids.
Millions.
Millions of Nautiloids from...
In the Redwall Limestone of the Grand Canyon in the bottom 7 feet of that limestone layer, there's one per square meter on average. One out of eight of them are buried vertically. So like standing on their little point.
Yeah, they died vertical. And then millions of years went by.
As the limestone built up one grain at a time and covered. And some of them are like as long as your forearm.
Yeah. So, and there's tons of them. I mean, this is, you know, obviously something happened very rapidly.
Yeah, that disproves the standard claim of limestone formation. It just disproves it.
Absolutely.
Because you don't have a dead animal standing on end for, say, 700,000 years as the limestone is gradually building up around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The petrified nautiloids. The petrified forest of nautiloids.
So much fun. There were so many opportunities to talk to everybody on the cruise. And we just absolutely loved it.
I'd have loved to have been there.
And you know what came up also? The debate that I just had a month ago.
Oh, really?
It's a month ago today with theologian James White.
Oh.
Whether or not the future is settled or open. Fred, what a debate that's been. We have thousands of views now on YouTube. And we're just releasing the video. The YouTube that's been out has been the audio, the full audio of the debate. Now the video is just being released. And the book of the debate, the transcript, the ebook, the Kindle version, and a paperback on Amazon are all coming out.
Well, and I know you were shocked at the aftermath, as we all were.
Oh.
And you know what the claim...
It was horrific.
It was by R.C. Sproul Jr. that God the Son doesn't have two natures. And I posted that on my forum.
Oh.
And now I've got a Christian on my forum who's been there for quite a while, I believe. He recently said that he's a Calvinist. He jumped onto the Bible section of our forum. He ended up going along with this. I mean, I was really shocked.
He ended up going along with the shocking statements by R.C. Sproul Jr. In order to win the aftermath of the debate, R.C. Sproul Jr. said something that was shocking and even horrifying. And then James White, rather than correct his friend, stood in solidarity and dug in.
Yeah.
And further agreed.
Made it even worse.
And now our fear is that their supporters around the country are starting to repeat and claim this basic heresy.
Yes.
So tell us, what did your forum member say?
So he said that God the Son doesn't have two natures.
Ah.
You know, but he said, you know, Jesus Christ does. I mean, that's silly to me. He's saying that God the Son does not have two natures. He's trying to get around the problem.
Well, it's a denial of fundamental Christianity.
That's right.
The central doctrine of all Christianity is that God the Son became flesh. God the Son became a man. God the Son took on human nature.
Yeah.
That's the central doctrine.
To say he doesn't have two natures, but Jesus Christ does. And, you know, he's trying to say that, well, one nature is God the Son, but not that God the Son changed. To quote him, what he said, I was just shocked. He's trying to defend, you know, Plato's argument that God doesn't change. He's trying to defend this Greek pagan idea of God's immutability.
Yeah, like absolute, like God cannot change in any way whatsoever.
Not even an emotion. And yet there's all these passages of God's emotion.
Right. And he goes from rejoicing to grieving.
Yes.
And to being furious and angry. This Plato concept that God cannot change in any way whatsoever is challenged by the incarnation. In fact, the last two Real Science Radio shows, I've interviewed an associate professor from Liberty University, Richard Holland, who wrote a fabulous book on God, time, and the incarnation. Just fabulous. And so we see by the incarnation that, in fact, God the Son did change, and he exists not outside of time where he cannot change. He lives his life in time.
Yeah. And unfortunately, this person, he goes by Faithful Centurion, he decided to leave the forum. And I asked him, you know, as my parting comments, you know, I was told him I'm sorry to hear him go, but I said, I hope you consider in your heart, would you have ever made this argument before the post-debate comments? And then I asked him, would you ever, even now, in your Bible study at church or to your pastor, would you make these comments?
Would you repeat that God,
that
the,
God
Son
the Son doesn't have two natures?
Wow.
Oh, hi, guys. This is Jamie Schofield, the producer, of course.
Hey, Jamie's on the air. How are you doing, Jamie?
You brought up God is now here earlier.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of the kind of experience that we often had in the tent on a lot of different issues, that you'll have someone who will be willing to say something overwhelmingly shocking because they will be willing to sacrifice that for an even more important issue that you've backed them into a corner on.
So they're trying to win a debate, And you've got them in a corner, and now they will say the most absurd thing to win the debate.
The example that always comes to my mind in these situations is a woman that we had in the tent.
When you say the tent, no, you're referring to the People's Fair in downtown Denver, because that's when I
Or any of the dozens
the New West Fest, the Boulder Creek Festival, and so on.
Yeah.
And she said that she had been raped.
Oh.
Now, we were talking about absolute right and wrong, absolute truth. She was an atheist, and so she was more committed to that than to the issue of rape. Well, we asked her, is rape wrong? And in this discussion, she said no.
Yeah. Wow.
She had been raped.
It's amazing.
Would she have said rape was not wrong an hour earlier or through her whole life?
I'm convinced if you had simply walked up to her 24 hours earlier and asked her if rape was wrong, she probably would have flown off the handle and accused you of being a patriarchal, sexist monster. Of course rape is wrong.
How dare you even ask the question?
But she will sacrifice that to hold on to the more important issue that there is no absolute right or wrong.
When they realize they're going to lose something they hold more dear.
Right. They're willing to bend over backwards so far that they'll break their own back.
Yeah. And that reminds me of a great video you have, Bob, called Get Out of the Matrix.
I think it was at Michigan State University, a philosophy class. I was invited to go in and speak to them for an hour.
Yeah, but even before, in the prelude,
on the way in,
the lunch tables, you were asking people similar questions. Is it absolutely wrong to rape a woman?
Yeah.
And these people were saying, no, it's not absolutely wrong.
And then
I asked,
because
they're committed to no absolutes.
This student, I said, well, was it absolutely wrong for the Germans to slaughter millions of Jewish men, women, and children? And she said, absolutely wrong? No.
Yeah.
And that's
amazing.
Even the professor.
Yeah.
Well, I asked the professor in front of the class, is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? I add the word violently because of how stupid so many people are. And she said, well, it depends on what absolutely means. And I said to this professor of philosophy.
I remember.
I said, ma'am, you are a fool.
I remember that.
You are a fool. And the students in the class, it's like you jolted them with electricity. They were like in shock that someone called the professor a fool.
Well, what was even more shocking, I'd say out of maybe 30 kids in that class, there seemed to be maybe two that were kind of maybe seeing your point.
Maybe able to
think. I was amazed how many kids were just against what you were saying.
So, Fred, let me quote from R.C. Sproul Jr. In this debate, if somebody Googles, you know, Bob Enyart and James White debate, James White's famous theologian, they'll come right to this page at opentheism.org. And the comments, the post-debate comments, R.C. Sproul Jr., he teaches at Ligonier Ministries. His father founded R.C. Sproul Sr.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he's a respected Christian teacher. He wanted to win the aftermath of the debate. And in the debate, I presented that God the Son went from one nature eternally past, a divine nature, to now he has two natures, a divine and a human nature.
And during the debate, White agreed with that.
He sure seemed to agree.
At 1 hour and 4 minutes in, I remember that because I brought that up on the forum.
Like six times, he seemed to agree. Six times.
Okay.
But anyway, R.C. Sproul concerned that if God the Son went from one nature to two, that's a change. And that would mean their dearly held doctrine of utter immutability might be threatened.
Yeah. And I've been told by Calvinists that immutability, that's core to Calvinism. It's a fundamental part
of it. When you analyze their doctrine, I believe that's their central ultimate commitment.
Absolutely.
To Plato's.
Used to be an admin on my board, believe it or not, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I was pretty ignorant on Calvinism.
And Augustine taught that he said, where does evil come from? Wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sort of afraid to write his answer. But he said, wherever it comes from, he traced it to God's attribute of immutability. And that's just so tragic.
Yes.
Because the most filthy, perverse wickedness and cruelty, they believe, eternally existed in the mind of God as an eternal decree.
Mm-hmm.
Because God can't change. So R.C. Sproul doesn't want to lose the aftermath of the debate, which was focused on the incarnation. So this is what he wrote in a public forum to the debate organizer, Will Duffy. R.C. Sproul wrote, quote, God the Son did not go from one nature to two natures.
Wow.
God the Son did not have a human nature. And so Will Duffy, the debate organizer, was in shock. And he said, you know, I don't understand. Don't you agree that God the Son even now has two natures for all of eternity? And R.C. Sproul Jr. dug in and he wrote this: God the Son does not now, nor has he ever had, two natures.
Wow.
Now that's shocking. Sad. And then James White, rather than in love correcting R.C. Sproul Jr., James White stands in solidarity with his friend and digs in. And he wrote this to Will Duffy, which is all online. He wrote, God the Son does not have two natures. This is shocking.
That is.
And that's, it's merely
to win a debate.
And it's merely to win the debate.
Yeah.
With the talk show host. I mean, it's not worth it to win a debate with a talk show host, Fred, to deny that God the Son took on a human nature.
Yeah.
I
was surprised when I posted it on my forum that one of the Calvinists jumped on it and originally didn't defend it, but eventually he did.
Wow.
You know, the first reaction was really, there wasn't a reaction as far as, I mean, they'd post other comments.
Yeah.
And then eventually he said that I didn't understand the hypostatic union, which to me was subterfuge. You know, I believe what I generally hear on the hypostatic union,
that
Jesus is God. God the Son is fully man and fully God,
right,
in one substance.
Right.
Most Christians that I know of, that's what we believe.
Well, it's Orthodox Christian teaching that God the Son took on human nature.
And he says, well, I don't understand it. And I said, well, you know, James White, in the aftermath and in comments he was posting, I think he had a YouTube video that was really kind of disturbing, personally. I mean, I know the White supporters would say otherwise, but he was doing the same thing. He was saying that, if I recall, that you didn't understand the hypostatic union, that you have Christology problems and this and that. Well, this guy said the same thing to me and left the forum. He said, I've got serious Christology issues. And he's the one who's saying that God the Son doesn't have two natures.
You know, R.C. Sproul Sr. has written about this kind of heresy and utterly condemned it. It goes back to Chalcedon in 451 A.D. Of course, the scriptures, you know, the Bible says over and over, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh.
The Word became flesh.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. Over and over and over, we see that God the Son became a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he is today the man, Jesus Christ, for all eternity future. So this is a tragedy. This is horrific. Yeah. And there were people on this cruise who are, you know, five-point Reformed Calvinists, who were horrified by this post-debate
development. Oh, really? So you had talked about this,
horrified,
too.
Horrified, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
interesting.
And one of the guys on the cruise is an assistant to one of the nation's leading theologians. Leading.
Okay.
I don't want to say his name because take advantage of these personal relationships.
Okay, sure.
But he was stunned by this development.
Wow. Okay.
And so we pray that R.C. Sproul Jr. and James White will simply retract what they said. That's the way to resolve
it. Yeah, exactly.
Not just to dig in and say, you know, somebody took over our email accounts, our Facebook accounts, and wrote these things that we never wrote. James White's already admitted that they wrote these things.
Yes.
So not saying you guys just didn't understand. It's not hard to understand this quote, God the Son does not have two natures.
You can never make that statement and spin it. I don't care how they're trying to spin it by saying, well, God the Son is the God part of the hypostatic union. I don't care how you spin it. You can never make that statement that God the Son does not have two natures. You can't say that.
Right. And that God the Son did not take on a human nature.
Yeah. How could
that he does not have a human nature.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a rejection of the fundamental doctrine of Christianity. And they've done this. Like you said, you asked that guy, have you ever said this in the past? Fred, by their test, like in Isaiah 40, 48, I'd have to have omniscience for what I'm about to say. James White has never in his career made a statement like this. Never.
Yeah.
R.C. Sproul Jr. has never. This is a neo-Nestorian heresy. I hate to use weird theological terms.
Yeah.
But this is an adoptionism heresy whereby they, in a way, they create four persons of the Trinity.
Yes.
In a way.
Yeah.
They don't say that, but they say Jesus has two natures. God the Son only has one nature. Well, Jesus and God the Son are the same person.
Yeah.
They are not two persons.
That's right.
Everything.
It's illogical.
And it's heretical.
Yeah.
And James White has debated dozens of heretics by his estimation. And with this debate, he became the heretic.
He did. He did. Absolutely did.
It's which sad. Doesn't it's... mean he loses his salvation.
Exactly.
Doesn't
We're
mean
not
he's
questioning
going to hell
that at all. Yes.
Just means this is a crisis. And Calvinists around the country who participated by viewing this debate, a number of them are digging in and saying God the Son doesn't have two natures just to win this debate. Could you imagine the horror if this became some kind of a freakish schism within Calvinism?
Yeah.
That'd be a horror.
Yeah. It's really too bad.
Yeah. So, Fred, how much science have we done?
Well, I'm sorry. I think I might have started this tangent.
No, I probably did. But we're almost out of time. Could we get to one more science? In this Creation magazine, they talk about when animals began to eat other animals. And animals with a soul would not have killed animals with a soul and have them bleeding and eating them while they're still alive, that kind of suffering and death, before the fall.
The fall, okay.
That wouldn't have happened. So what interests me is, so then evolutionists say, well, how could they have developed carnivory if they were not created to eat one another?
Yeah.
And Fred, there is this case in 1971, the scientists brought lizards from Italy onto an island where those lizards had never existed. And their diet changed from mostly insects to mostly vegetarian. And within three decades, they were shocked to see the extraordinary changes.
Yeah. Now, here's the key that you said, though, within three decades.
Right.
There's no way that could be due to random chance mutations.
Not millions of
that
years.
That get fixed in the entire group of organisms of those lizards. There's no way. It's not mathematically possible, and they know that.
Right. Not thousands of generations.
This had to be information already there.
Latent in their genome.
Yes.
Already
programmed in.
How to survive if you have a mostly vegetarian diet.
Yeah.
So, for example, their gut extended. Their intestines changed to where they developed these valves to slow the nutrients going through their intestines.
Yeah.
Because it takes longer to digest, you know, things that are wrapped in cellulose.
Yeah. It's like, you know, as a computer programmer, it'd be like an if-else clause. You know, if there's meat to eat, let's chow down on it.
And
if not, let's go through this other processing and develop this other system to work, to still work.
And
that's information that's already there. Yeah.
So anyway, hey, Fred, another fun show. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
Thank you.
God bless you guys. It's Bob Enyart and Fred Williams for Real Science Radio, the website, realscienceradio.com. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.